Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I shouldn't be smiling, Fred. It's a sad topic, but welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Inyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer, and it's our RSR show on the races and racism.
Yes.
And you know, on Bob Inyart Live recently, Bob, you said that if you hated blacks, you teach them that they cannot be racist.
Yes.
That is so true. If you hated them, you would teach them that.
Yes. If you hate blacks, you would teach them they cannot be racist. That's what they've been taught as a community for decades now, and it has done irreparable harm in the black community where there is systematic racism and there's a seething rage, and that's a major part of it. I know we want to get to that, but we've got so much. We have audio from Heather McDonald about police and violence, blacks, that whole issue. She's a brilliant scholar. So we have that. We have a black conservative Christian, Vodi Bakum. We have some audio from him on race.
Yeah, he's awesome. I met him in person many years ago at a conference.
Yes. But first, we have a quote from Charles Darwin.
Yeah, so probably a good place to start with this is the guy who really popularized evolution. Everybody's heard of Charles Darwin.
Yes.
So here is a quote, and this comes from Darwin's book, The Descent of Man.
Now, this quote is devastating, Fred, and it might be a little tough for people to follow, but basically he ends the quote by comparing how close the Negro is to the gorilla. That's Charles Darwin.
Yep.
He was a racist.
Yeah. Well, his famous book, The Origin of Species, a lot of people just think that's the name of his book.
That's the title. The
Origin of Species. In fact, that's all you'll ever see in the public schools and in the colleges, right?
Right.
But what's the original title? The title they removed.
Right. And you could find it on Google Images if you go. He published it in 1859 with this title, The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life.
So favored races.
Now, some people might think, well, he didn't mean human races, but this quote we're going to read, he talks about looking forward to the period in time when we will exterminate and replace the savage races. Who will do that? The civilized races, among whom he counted his family.
Yeah.
Caucasians at the top.
So after his first book, he then wrote The Descent of Man. This was his second book. And this is where he ominously wrote, at some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace throughout the world the savage races.
Okay, so that's verbatim.
All right, unbelievable.
Let's link in today's show summary. People could find it at rsr.org this week, but then next week's show replaces that. So a permanent URL, rsr.org/racism. You could find this show, and we will post this quote and we'll link to the book, The Descent of Man, at Google Books, so people could see it for themselves. Charles Darwin wrote, and I want to hear the rest of the quote, Fred, but let me repeat the beginning that you just read. At some future period, not very distant, as measured by centuries, the civilized races, and by that he meant European races, primarily, and himself, of course, the Brits, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace throughout the world the savage races, and by that he means primarily the blacks and others, aboriginals in Australia, as he points out in his book. Fred, what introduces this quote is Darwin asking whether man has given rise to races that must be classed as doubtful species. He doesn't even like these species of Aboriginals and blacks. Yeah. But please continue.
So then he goes on, at the same time, the anthropomorphous apes.
Apes,
yep. As Professor Schaffhausen has remarked, will no doubt be exterminated. The break between humans and non-humans will then be rendered wider, for it will intervene between man in a more civilized state.
All right, let me follow this. So he's saying that what we would call today the great apes will be exterminated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for whatever reason, he thought that would be the case. And then he believes that men evolved from ape-like creatures, so that there's some kind of a evolutionary distance, a gap.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have language, they don't. We have human language. And so he believes there's a gap between apes and human beings, Homo sapiens, and that gap, if you exterminated apes, then the gap would be rendered wider, right? We'd be further removed from any living animals. Following so far?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, the break will then be rendered wider, for it will intervene between man in a more civilized state, as we may hope, than the Caucasian.
So humans are going to evolve even more,
yes,
become more civilized, he's saying, over the next few centuries.
And some ape as low as a baboon, instead of as at present between the Negro and the gorilla.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
So he's saying right now, in other words, in his day, in 1859, the closest you get between any Homo sapien race and animals is between the black and the gorilla. The African, the Negro, and the gorilla. Charles Darwin wrote on page 156 of The Descent of Man that the closest you have between people and animals is blacks and gorillas. If we exterminate the great apes, the gorillas, and we exterminate blacks, then there will be a wider gap, and that will be between Caucasians and something lower than the gorilla, like a baboon. That's Charles Darwin's point. It is utterly racist, and Fred, we should contrast that with what God says in his word, not only through the entire Bible, because we have the account of the origin of mankind in Genesis chapter 1, but specifically in the book of Acts, we learn about all the nations of men on the earth and how they originated.
So from Acts 17, verse 26, and God has made from one blood every nation of man to dwell on all the face of the earth.
Wow, that's about as clear as could be, isn't it?
Yep.
And
one
we know,
human race.
You go back to Genesis chapter 1, God created man in his image and his likeness.
Yeah.
And he created them male and female. And from them, then you go through the generations to Noah and his three sons and three daughters-in-law. And from them, we have in the Bible, unlike any other ancient book in the history of man, we have the Table of Nations explaining where the major people groups have come from, going all the way back to Noah and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and before that, of course, back to Adam and Eve.
Yeah, and that's another topic, but we know genetically that there's three, probably four major people groups.
Yes.
The creation groups, which are great. You know, Dr. Rob Carter with CMI, Creation Ministries International, he had a great article on this study.
Oh, yeah, and a video, too. He's a brilliant geneticist. He's awesome.
Yeah, and how we can trace things back to three people groups. And if you think about Noah's Ark, there were, what, three people groups?
Yes.
Of course, we think that there's actually a fourth group, the science does support this.
Yes.
But you have to go off to a website at rsar.org.
/Canaan.
Canaan.
C-A-N-A-A-N. Or you could Google, why was Canaan cursed?
Yeah. Oh, it's such a cool article.
Stunning Bible study, isn't it, Fred?
It really is good.
Okay.
It explains a lot. Anyways, so we heard from Darwin. Then we heard from God.
Yeah, that trumps Darwin.
Yep.
He trumps Darwin.
Yeah, yeah. And he's also trumped Stephen Jay Gould, but he was a famous Harvard professor.
Oh, yeah.
And he was also a Marxist evolutionist.
Wow. And he was the curator at the museum I went to growing up, the American Museum of Natural History in New York City, we lived in New Jersey right across the Hudson River, would go over the George Washington Bridge. So I remember him from when I was young.
Yeah. To his credit, he was a staunch anti-racist, and he admitted that evolution, you know, the onset of evolution led to more racism.
Wow. And you have a quote to back that up?
I do.
All right, so, I got to hear this.
Okay, so he said that biological arguments for racism may have been common before 1850, but they increased by orders of magnitude following the acceptance of evolutionary theory.
This is astounding because he's considered one of the leading evolutionists of the 20th century.
Yep.
Stephen Jay Gould, like you said, he taught at Harvard. And then he's the curator at the American Museum of Natural History. Come on, Fred. That the arguments for racism increased by orders of magnitude after the theory of evolution was accepted?
Yeah, and he went on to say, the litany is familiar. Cold, dispassionate, objective, modern science shows us that races can be ranked on a scale of superiority.
Ugh.
If this offends Christian morality or a sentimental belief in human unity, so be it. Science must be free to proclaim unpleasant truths.
Wow.
And there is this book by this guy, Philippe Rushton. He ranked the races.
Yeah,
basically,
his famous book, Race, Evolution, and Behavior.
Yeah,
that
so
guy.
He ranked them. You know, Asians on top, of course, and, you know, then he had blacks at the bottom.
Wow, this is not unusual because if you remember the Scopes Monkey Trial in Tennessee, the ACLU, the media, the left, they all loved the teaching of evolution from this textbook called Hunter's Civic Biology.
Mm-hmm.
And Fred, in that book, they ranked the races also, and they had blacks closest to apes.
Yep.
And so this is mainstream evolutionary thought from Charles Darwin himself, and there were Christians desperately opposing the teaching that human beings came from animals. In fact, at the time, they said, look, if you want to teach that animals evolved into other animals, fine. Don't teach that blacks evolved from apes. Don't teach that people are not made in God's image. That was the actual debate during the Scopes Monkey trial. Fred, and you might remember the name of a guy. We didn't talk about this before the show, but Ada Benga. We used to go to the Bronx Zoo when I was a kid, too.
Yep.
Ada Benga is a black guy who they locked in a cage, an exhibit in the Bronx
Zoo. Yep.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And hundreds of thousands of people, you know, progressive people.
Oh, of course.
The kind of people that populate the big liberal metropolitan areas in the world.
Yeah.
They went to look at this black half ape, half human. That's how they imagined it.
Yeah.
And I think about the racism in Europe. In Germany, their hatred of Jews especially, but blacks and other races. Was Germany like at the low end of the scale in Europe, the scale of scholarship, science, the arts?
Mm-hmm.
Were they at the low end? They were at the top of all of that. With their higher criticism and the undermining of the scriptures, then like Charles Darwin thought, people are just animals.
Yeah, and that's where you really had systemic racism.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, horrific. And we could condemn the action of racists. We could condemn their actions based on the teachings of Jesus Christ. But you can't condemn their actions based on Charles Darwin. We're just all animals.
Yep.
And it's survival of the fittest. And the strong destroy the weak for their own ability to propagate. So the tragedy of the left is that they fulfill what the Bible warns. They call good evil and evil good.
Yep. So, Bob, last week you did a show called Black Lives Matter to the Cops, Not to Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, that's an ironic title, right? But it's completely true. And we aired audio from this brilliant scholar, Heather McDonald. A lot of conservatives know her very well, especially since Ferguson, Baltimore riots. Let's hear from Heather McDonald on the truth about blacks and policing and black lives. And by the way, Fred, Heather McDonald, she's a real scholar, graduated from Yale, studies at Cambridge, gets her PhD from Stanford University. So she's the real deal when it comes to scholarship. Her very first study result she's going to mention, people might think, well, that's not especially powerful. It's incredibly powerful. It's a simulation of police officers to find out, and they don't know what they're being tested for. Mm-hmm. They're on like a shooting range, and to find out whether they're more inclined to shoot black people or white people. Stunning results. So we're going to hear that. And also for our listeners, you're going to hear a lot of weird sound effects, clicking sounds. Those go with the animations on the video, so you could ignore the weird sounds.
And we'll link that video on the website.
Yes.
Does the truth matter? Not to groups like Black Lives Matter. That's tragic for many reasons, not the least of which is that black lives are being lost as a result. When it comes to the subject of American police, blacks, and the deadly use of force, here is what we know. A recent deadly force study by Washington State University researcher Lois James found that police officers were less likely to shoot unarmed black suspects than unarmed white or Hispanic ones in simulated threat scenarios. Harvard economics professor Roland Fryer analyzed more than 1,000 officer-involved shootings across the country. He concluded that there is zero evidence of racial bias in police shootings. In Houston, he found that blacks were 24% less likely than whites to be shot by officers, even though the suspects were armed or violent. Does the truth matter? An analysis of the Washington Post's police shooting database and of federal crime statistics reveals that fully 12% of all whites and Hispanics who die of homicide are killed by cops. By contrast, only 4% of black homicide victims are killed by cops. But isn't it a sign of bias that blacks make up 26% of police shooting victims, but only 13% of the national population? It is not, and common sense suggests why. Police shootings occur more frequently where officers confront armed or violently resisting suspects. Those suspects are disproportionately black. According to the most recent study by the Department of Justice, although blacks were only about 15% of the population in the 75 largest counties in the U.S., they were charged with 62% of all robberies, 57% of murders, and 45% of assaults. In New York City, blacks commit over 3/4 of all shootings, though they are only 23% of the city's population. Whites, by contrast, commit under 2% of all shootings in the city, though they are 34% of the population. New York's crime disparities are repeated in virtually every racially diverse city in America. The real problem facing inner-city black communities today is not the police, but criminals. In 2014, over 6,000 blacks were murdered, more than all white and Hispanic homicide victims combined. Who is killing them? Not the police, and not white civilians, but other blacks.
Stop the tape. Fred, you know the tragedy in Chicago just this past weekend.
Yeah, 18 people were killed in 24 hours. It set a record.
It's
most in 60 years, and 60 years is all they've been keeping track.
Right.
And over that weekend, there were 25 people killed, and another 85 were wounded by gunfire.
And there have also been 20 people killed in the riots so far, including black police officers. I've yet to hear a liberal or a Democrat mention David Dorn's name just on his own. That we got to remember these victims of the rioters, but you're never going to hear it because black lives don't matter.
Yes.
To Black Lives Matter.
Yep.
Black lives matter to cops, not to Black Lives Matter. So all of last year, 10 unarmed blacks were killed by police, and that's being generous with the definition of unarmed. 10, and in one day in Chicago over a weekend, 18 people killed. The majority undoubtedly blacks killed undoubtedly by virtually all or all blacks.
Yeah, in one day in one city.
Yes.
In fact, a police officer is 18 and a half times more likely to be killed by a black male than an unarmed black male is to be killed by a police officer. If the police ended all use of lethal force tomorrow, it would have a negligible impact on the black death by homicide rate. In Chicago, through just the first 6.5 months of 2016, over 2,300 people were shot. That's a shooting an hour during some weekends. The vast majority of the victims were Black. During the same period, the Chicago police shot 12 people, all armed and dangerous. That's 0.5% of all shootings. Does the truth matter? If it does, here's a truth worth pondering. There is no government agency more dedicated to the proposition that Black lives matter than the police. The proactive policing revolution that began in the mid-1990s has dramatically brought down the inner city murder rate and saved tens of thousands of Black lives. Unfortunately, that crime decline is now in jeopardy. As I write in my book, The War on Cops, police officers are backing off of proactive policing in Black neighborhoods thanks to the false narrative that police officers are infected with homicidal bias. As a result, violent crime is going up. In cities with large Black populations, homicides in 2015 rose anywhere from 54% in Washington, D.C. to 90% in Cleveland. Overall, in the nation's 56 largest cities, homicides in 2015 rose 17%, a nearly unprecedented one-year spike. Many law-abiding residents of high-crime areas beg the police to maintain order, precisely the type of policing that the ACLU, progressive politicians, and the Obama Justice Department denounce as racist. This is tragic because when the police refrain from proactive policing, Black lives are lost. Lost because of a myth. The best research and data reach this conclusion. There is no evidence that police are killing Blacks just because they're Black. You now have the truth. Does it matter? I'm Heather McDonald of the Manhattan Institute for Prager University.
Heather, no, the truth doesn't matter. Fred, it doesn't matter. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The truth does not matter to those who are in rebellion against God. And the truth is hate to those who hate the truth. Mm-hmm. So they'll call you a hater, me a hater, Heather McDonald a hater. The left can't care about Black lives because it's their own liberal policies that are destroying them. Barack Obama cannot shine a light on the tragedy of Blacks killing Blacks in Chicago because they own it. They own the city. They own the state. It's theirs, and it's the fruit of their policy. So they will never point to the failure because it's their failure.
Yeah, great point, Bob. And you know, you think about this whole thing about white privilege. Well, you know, there is one white privilege that we have. It's being taught growing up, at least I was, I'm sure you were, you know, not to judge somebody on the color of their skin.
What a brilliant.
You know, I'm glad I was taught that.
This is brilliant, Fred. Fred Williams for the Nobel Prize. Yeah. Or somebody around here needs to get a Nobel Prize for that point, Fred. Could you say it again? White privilege includes
being taught growing up by my parents.
Don't judge people
by the color of their skin.
Right. Don't be a bigot. Don't hate others because their skin color is different from yours. Blacks, on the other hand, and we have said on this show for 30 years, Fred, 30 years, that the most open racist policy in America is when Blacks are told that they cannot be racist.
Yeah.
That is dehumanizing. You have to be subhuman to think that you cannot be a racist. The only thing you need for racism to exist, Fred, it's like, when was the first automobile race? You remember when that was?
Yeah, it was. The first automobile race was, well, when you had your second automobile manufactured.
Right. Yeah. When they built the second car, that's when you had your first race.
I told my brother we were doing a show on the races, and he goes, oh, great, I'd love to hear about NASCAR and the Kentucky Derby.
Right. Well, in a way, good point, because like Vodi Bakum says, the Bible teaches us there's only one human race.
Yeah, there's actually one, just one race.
Right. We have different melanin. in our skin, which is true.
Different shades of the same color.
But that's pretty superficial. So white privilege comes to us from liberals and from Antifa and from Black Lives Matter telling us, shouting at us, which I'm thankful for, that it's wrong to judge people based on the color of their skin. So our kids, Fred, Cheryl and I, we've taught our sons that it is despicable to judge others by the color of your skin. But we know, because it's in the headlines and they're on MSNBC and CNN every night, that the left judges people by the color of their skin. That's one of their primary messages. And so it reminds me of feminism being the ultimate compliment to men.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They teach girls, if you can't be like a man, you're really not worth all that much. That's what it's all ironic.
It is. It really is.
And the white privilege comes from Antifa and Black Lives Matter because, as you said, your parents taught you. I'm sure you taught your kids.
Absolutely.
Your brilliant kids, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
And as we've taught our kids, millions of white families have taught their kids how despicable it is to judge someone else, to hate other people because their skin color is different from yours. But blacks have been told, and we're talking about as a community, blacks have been told that you cannot be a racist.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be a racist. Not only is it wicked, it's also stupid.
It is. You know, we got some great wisdom from one of our longtime listeners out of Compton, Johnny.
Oh, Johnny from Compton.
Yeah. He called in recently, right?
You remember Johnny from Compton. Okay, so Johnny is raising his family, black family, in Compton, Southern California, where the riots were years ago. And they start tuning into Bobbinaret Live, and they become friends. Cheryl and I have been out there, and they've been out here, and really neat, incredible family. Well, he called in to say this. He said, Bob, for years you've said on the show about the death penalty, if it were only to be in effect for one family, which family would you want it to be in effect for? You know that saying, Fred?
Yeah, absolutely. You'd want it to be in effect for your own family.
For my family, because if I'm sort of selfish, I want my kids to grow up knowing that if you commit a capital crime, you'll be put to death.
Yeah.
So if you're selfish, if it's only going to be in effect for one family, please let it be my family.
Yeah.
And Johnny
because
from
it would
Compton.
Make our family better.
Yes.
Right?
And Johnny from actually.
It'll protect our family.
Johnny from out of Compton because they've moved. Johnny said it's the same thing with racism. If only one race of people, we're using the race the way it's used today, because there's only one human race. But if only blacks or only Asians or only Caucasians, or if only one race is going to be taught, don't be a racist. If I'm selfish, I want it to be my race because my kids will benefit from that teaching. Well, the liberals have destroyed the black community in many ways. And among the more severe ways is that there is now a seething, unchecked, systemic racism in the black community, so that instead of the rage, recognizing it's rage at ourselves for destroying ourselves, you find a scapegoat and you have a cop who commits a terrible crime against a thug, really, because Black Lives Matter heroes are all thugs and addicts and criminals and drunks. That's who their heroes are. They're not successful black men. No, a successful black man is almost like an enemy to Black Lives Matter.
What about, you know, Europe, Asia?
What a good point, Fred. If you think about around the world, right? In Africa, Rwanda, you had the genocide, almost a million Tutsis killed by the Hutus.
Yeah.
So in Africa, blacks could be racist, but not in America. Think about in Asia, the Chinese hate the Japanese, you know, and the Koreans
and
hate both
versa.
Of them.
Yep.
The Chinese hate the Uyghurs. The Europeans hate the Jews. And the Iranians, the Persians hate the Jews. And the Palestinians hate the Jews. And it just goes on and on. So it's so dehumanizing to say to blacks, for some absurd political reason, you cannot be racist. Stupid doesn't make you sin, but sin makes you
That's
stupid.
That's an all-time great quote.
Yeah.
So let's repeat that because I just interrupted it.
Yeah. Stupid doesn't make you sin, but sin makes you stupid. Stupid.
Yep.
Stupid.
So Johnny, in his infinite wisdom, said, I don't want my kids to grow up to hate people of other races. You know, so hey, let this hang over my family. Go ahead.
Right.
You know, that's the important thing to realize here. Everybody has to be taught that racism is wrong, but blacks aren't.
Mm.
So, Bob, how about we hear this audio clip from Vodi Bakum? I heard this guy many years ago at a creation conference.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. It was interesting. He was talking about how first time he heard Ken Ham, he's like, oh, boy, here we go with another crackpot who doesn't know anything about race.
Yeah.
And then he heard him, was like, hey, I like this guy. He's spot on.
Oh, wow. Isn't
that
great?
So it was really cool. And
yeah.
He gave some powerful arguments.
And in this talk, he says that being reconciled to God is the first step. But then we're to be reconciled to one another.
Yes.
What a great point. And then he talks about race. Let's hear this.
We talk about distinctions and we talk about being distinct from one another in terms of our race. Race is actually a social construct. The concept of race is not a biblical concept. It's not a biblical idea. It is a constructed idea. You won't find the idea of races in the Bible unless you find it in the proper historical context where we see, number one, that we are all the race of Adam. Amen? One race, one blood. We are all the race of Adam. There is less than a 0.2% genetic difference between any of us in this regard. In fact, we're not even different colors. Amen. Technically, from a genetic perspective, from a biochemistry perspective, we're all actually the same color. Our color comes from our melanin. We've all got melanin just to differing degrees. So it's not that some of us are, you know, this color, some of us are that color. No, we're just different shades of the same color. Some of us just have more melanin than others, and I want you to listen to me on this. Listen to me. Just because you don't have as much melanin as I do, don't you dare think God doesn't love you as much as he loves me because he gave me more.
That's the best.
That's great. That's awesome.
You learn to be satisfied with the little you have. But there is another separation. There is actually a separation that we do have here in Scripture. It's a real separation. The separations that we have, the racial categories that we have, are artificial. They are not biblical in nature, nor are they genetic in nature. They are artificial based on people's hair and their features and their skin color and things like that. That is artificial. It's not real. We've been convinced that it is, but it's not real.
Stop the Bible tape. Stop the tape. It is artificial as a way to divide us, that social construct. Mm-hmm. It's superficial when it comes to our phenotype, our body, how it expresses our DNA in each of us physically. It's superficial, but it's artificial when it's used to separate us socially.
The Bible does talk about a real distinction, and that is between Gentiles and Jews. Now, racial distinctions are things that we have made up to divide ourselves as individuals, and it's crazy. It's logically inconsistent. I read these forms, and people, you know, you're like, what is your race? Human.
He's so good.
Actually, you're African American. How is that a race? Because one of them is a nationality. Amen? That's crazy talk. How is that my race? And how is it that I get to be an African-American, but if somebody comes over here from Egypt or Algeria or Morocco, they don't get to be African-American? Because the first part of my race is based on my continent. Well, no, not actually. Only the black part of your continent. Oh, wow, okay. So why use the name of the continent, right? And then the second part is based on your, you know, your nationality. How do you get race from nationality? We made this up. It's not real. But this distinction is real. And we didn't make it up. God did.
Vodi Bakum is awesome. Fred, I taught our sons, if you're ever asked on a government form, whatever, your race, put Native American. I taught them because that's what you are. You are Native American. And others, in fact, just in the last couple of weeks, some liberal Christian was upset with me because I said that. And this person was from South America. And I said, well, why is it that only our children are robbed of an identity? Because all the rest of the children of the world, there are Native Canadians, Native Mexicans, Native Brazilians. And she said, well, we're from South America. Yeah, but you don't call yourselves Native South Americans. You're Native Chileans or Peruvians.
Yeah.
Our kids are nothing. You have Native, you know, Italians or Egyptians or Persians. Our kids are Native Americans. They actually are. There are Native Navajo and Native Cherokee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our kids, and I would submit our kids alone are Native Americans because we are Americans.
So like Elizabeth Warren, you know, like Pocahontas.
Pocahontas, that's right. Yeah, she's the one who robbed a career position at, was it Harvard, from an American Indian because she lied, said she was an American Indian, and she took a genetic test. She's like 1/1,000th. Trump said, I'm more Native American than she is, and I don't have any in me. So, yeah, what a joke, right? These are used to divide us. And the left, they do not want a solution for racism. They don't. They want it to be a perennial expression of hatred for white people.
Yeah.
So racism is seething in the black community and also in the Hispanic community. It is seething where, thankfully, we've been condemned by liberals not to be racist, and it actually has been a blessing to us and our children, where in my life, racism is way more of an anomaly than it is in the black community.
Yeah, and again, you know, as Vodi Bakum notes, it's not, you won't find racism anywhere in the Bible, the teaching of more than one race. And remember, Christians get affected by this. Sin is like gravity, brings everybody down. Think of Bob Jones University, where they did not condone white smearing blacks.
Yeah, that's racism.
That was super racism. Yeah. And, you know, the Bible, what does it say about people who can't marry other people? Does the Bible say that blacks can't marry whites?
No, of course not.
But it does say
Solomon married the Queen of Sheba, if I recall.
Yeah. Yeah, the Bible urges believers not to marry non-believers.
Yeah, don't be unequally yoked.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even if you're a very strong, mature Christian and you marry somebody who just became a Christian last month, that could be trouble. It's not necessarily wrong, but don't be unequally yoked, strong versus weak, or believer versus unbeliever.
Yep.
So, Fred, what a fascinating program for those who want to research racism further from a biblical perspective. We so strongly recommend our custom Google search. It is such a powerful tool. You just go to our website, RSR, for Real Science Radio, rsr.org, click on the very top, our custom Google search. You will search all the largest creation websites with a single search. Mm-hmm. So you click on that, you put in racism, and you will find powerful, very important articles talking through the issue and providing solutions from a Christian biblical worldview.
On our website, go to rsr.org/racism to find out so much more. I mean, that's another great starting point.
Yes, that's right. So,
and of course, always go to our store because we could always use the support.
Yeah,
right?
That's how we stay on the air, thanks to our listeners getting our science materials. We've been in communication also with Tim Mahoney at Patterns of Evidence.
Oh, wow.
And the third in the series, The Red Sea Miracle, is in two parts. Part one came out in theaters a few months ago. Part two, stay tuned. We'll keep you informed. It should be out soon.
Hopefully so. The theaters are supposed to open, I heard, in July. So we'll see.
Yes. So this is Bob Enyart and Fred Williams for Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.